With 160,000 people, mostly critics, jailed and a compliant media parroting his every word, Turkey's strongman president, Recep Tayyip Erdogan, has secured the double victory he wanted in snap weekend elections. Critics say that it was a dice loaded to go one way, to cement one-man rule and strip parliament of its authority, fully burying, they say, Turkish democracy. So as President Erdogan has drawn closer to Russia and Iran over Syria, will he also stay in NATO? Simon Waldman is a lecturer in Middle Eastern Studies at the Institute of Middle Eastern Studies at King's College London. He's based in Istanbul. He told me earlier it's hard to see how these elections could be declared legitimate.
These elections were problematic. They were either unfree or unfair, really because there has been a media clampdown to the point where censorship and co-option has led to the point where 90% of the press is pro-Erdogan. State television has given Erdogan and the AKP around about 10 times more airtime than all of the rivals put together. There's been cases of intimidation, especially against the HDP, which is a kind of a Kurdish-oriented and liberal party in Turkey, to the point where one cannot say these are free and fair elections. They're just not. This is not like having an election in Australia or in Britain or the United States. If the AKP and if Erdogan did not get the election result that they wanted, I would have been very shocked.
I'm wondering what this means as we look at Turkey from abroad. I mean, for many in the West, Turkey's been a model, if flawed, in a difficult wider Middle East. So a parliament, a separation of powers, a constrained presidency, secular, Western-oriented, all of those Atatürk legacy elements. Does this moment spell the end of that for Turkey?
No, it doesn't, actually, because that moment ended a while ago. This kind of election, if anything, is the kind of the icing of the cake, the confirmation that Turkey is no longer a model for democratic reform in the rest of the Middle East and beyond. I would even say that the idea that Turkey was a model was a construct in the war on terror kind of period after 9/11. The West kind of needed or was searching for some kind of model in the Muslim world as an example of democracy. And Turkey had its failings. I mean, it had its successes as well, but it just wasn't right.
So why is this the case? I mean, why did President Erdogan and the AKP take this path? Because a Western perspective would have it that the advantages all lie with building on Turkey's membership of the Western military alliance, NATO, and expanding to become an EU member. All of those things on the face of it look like the most attractive option for Turkey. Why isn't that the case for President Erdogan?
The key to answering your question lies in the name of the AKP, which is Justice and Development. What do they mean by justice? Well, they mean justice for their supporters, the emerging middle class from a kind of a conservative background who believe have been oppressed by a Western elite in Istanbul and other major cities. And that needs to be rectified. That was their perspective.
So what does this shift to authoritarianism in Turkey mean more globally, noting also that President Erdogan has been courting or courted by Russia and Iran over Syria, for example?
From the perspective of Turkey, it's not as we view Turkey's foreign policy in the West. A lot of the time we misplace Turkey by saying, oh, it has joined the Russian alliance, or it's now on the Iranian axis. From the perspective of Turkey, the only axis that it revolves on is its own. Turkey sees itself as a great power in its own right. And in the case of Turkey distancing itself from the West and NATO allies and things like that, it's come to a point, I think, where, quite frankly, Turkey's national interests are not the same as that of the West.
So what does this all mean then for Turkey's relationship with NATO, Turkey's relationship with the West more generally, and the West's formulations, I suppose, and approach to Turkey?
I think that it's inevitable that they will decline. At the same time, it's in nobody's interest for Turkey to leave NATO or for the West to quote on quote lose Turkey. That's not in anyone's interest whatsoever. But the reason to maintain strong relations between the West and Turkey are altogether quite negative. It's more or less the question of what would happen if Turkey were to leave NATO. And if you list the consequences, they're all negative. So better Turkey in NATO than out. However, the actual benefits of Turkey being in NATO are not as beneficial as they were, say, during the 1980s or even the 1990s. It's really just a case of no longer do they share the same strategic vision.
Simon Waldman, thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
Simon Waldman from King's College London, speaking from Istanbul.